The following is a 1232 Studios production. It's your What's Up Raiders podcast.
And hello, Raider Nation. This is Gail DeWayne with your What's Up Raider podcast. We've got a quick news and review for the day of October 2nd, 2025. It's going to be a quick hit version, so it's not going to be that long because we have a special version of the show, a special report called Geno Smith versus Jim Plunkett, or Jim Plunkett versus Geno Smith, whatever you prefer. But I think it's relevant, and we decided to put this together for how this 2025 season is starting out with your Las Vegas Raiders. So we thought we'd put together a special report. But by doing so, we also wanted to make sure we put out a quick hit version that kind of gave you the news and review of the day. And we're going to touch on what I think the Raiders should do for the game this weekend in order to pull out a win, quick hit version. So we're going to do this quickly. So for news today, injuries and reports for the day. We all know that Colton Miller is out, that high ankle sprain that we were told is now a hairline fracture. The problem with a hairline fracture is people immediately begin to think that because it's a hairline fracture, that it's something that heals really fast. You're probably looking at about 6 weeks for him. And if anybody remembers how he looked on game day, he was writhing around, rolling around in pain. So it looked awful worse. And initially we were excited, or optimistic, I should say, optimistic that it was just going to be a high ankle sprain, preferably over a low ankle sprain. And then when we got the news of it being a hairline fracture, it is what it is. He's going to be out for at least a month. We're probably looking at 6 to 7 weeks. And in the meantime, it's going to be next man up. And it looks like that's going to be Stone Forsythe, who's a Grizzly veteran. He's kind of bounced around, so, you know, some of us in Raider Nation are a little worried about how that might play out. We've also got the rookie Charles Grant out of William & Mary. And if you've watched some of the other shows, particularly Locked In Raiders, they just straight out say, Q just straight out says that Charles Grant just isn't ready. So Lincoln Kennedy has also voiced the same. Next man up. And it's crazy to see that when a guy has the opportunity to play and he can focus in. And yeah, I don't expect any of these guys to win every rep, but we just want a guy, when it's all said and done after four quarters, we can say the guy did a good job. So very few people win every rep. Additionally, we want to talk about Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers was limited in practice. So this may or may not come down to semantics about how they want to fill out the injury report, but let's look at this now. It's going on a month that that Brock Bowers was had that little tweak on the knee, it looks like, and he just hasn't been the same. And then we see that we've got continued reports of him today that he's being held out or limited in practice. It's just not a good look. And I'm going to say it for probably the 100th time. With this 1-3 record, we probably should have just let him sit for the 2 or 3 weeks instead of having him out there, perhaps slowing down the I'm not so worried about any long-term issues with Brock Bowers, but I'm just worried about, you know, if you just stayed off it, could he have been 100% after 3 weeks? Okay, we'll know when we hear more about this as the season develops or even after the season. Perhaps the Raiders know something that they're not quite sharing, and that's why they're taking this approach. So right now I'm going to err on the side of caution and give them the benefit of the doubt that they know more than I know. So that's that as far as your news and injury reports. Let's get into the game Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. Probably the biggest concern is that we know that Colton Miller is going to be out. And with Colton out, it leaves probably some fear in most of our eyes because, let's be honest, Geno Smith has not played well the last 3 weeks. He's been absolutely, just honestly terrible. And now we're going to his blindside blocker, Colton Miller, is out. And we see that Stone Forsythe and Charles Grant are going to be the two leading candidates to fill that, both of which don't have a very good history in the league so far. And there's even some rumors that DJ Glaze may switch over back to where he played college at left tackle for Maryland. And then perhaps Thayer Munford or Dalton Wagner may replace DJ Glaze at the right tackle. That's for us to see on Sunday, unless we hear something else come out. Perhaps this might be secretive, even for the insiders. So we'll see what the final roster looks like on that O-line. But we know that for the most important left tackle position, there's a big question mark for us out there. And, you know, like I said earlier, I don't expect the guy to win every rep, but I do think that we hope that a guy that after four quarters can win most of the reps and limit the quarterback pressures and hurries. Chip Kelly could also be a person that can help this as well with play calling and play selection. So let's get into that after a quick return. Okay. Thank you, Raider Nation, for the return back. We're going to discuss what it's going to take to win this game Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. And this is going to be my take. Let's start off with the defense. Defenses just have to be what they've been. Max Crosby and crew, let's keep the Indianapolis Colts below 20 points or below, around that 20 mark, and we should be in the game, I believe, even with a substitute at left tackle and a quarterback that has had spotty play over the last 3 weeks. I think if we can keep our opponent below 20, or about 20, we should be in this football game. So defense, do your thing, limit the big plays. And when we do have rookies in, these rookies, particularly Caillou Blue Kelly and some of the other young guys playing corner, we just know that our guys can't give up the big play. So if it's cover three, the rule in cover three is nobody gets behind you. So let's get back to that bend, don't break mentality. So I believe it. I'm very confident in the defense. When it comes to the offense, you know, we've got our shiny brand new toy doing what he's supposed to do, and that's Ashton Jeanty. Ashton had his breakout week last week, his breakout game, and he's done the things that did the things in that game that many of us thought he was capable of, both running and catching the ball. But he finally broke that big 64-yard run. He busted out of the last, there's a pretty good tackle that he just kicked himself out of. But what you see in Ashton is you see good wiggle, good vision, good power, and the ability to go the distance with the kind of speed that he has. It's been a long time since we've had, even as good as Josh Jacobs was, Josh Jacobs just didn't have that 40 time that allowed him to be a threat from any time, anywhere in the field. And Ashton Jeanty does have that. So we saw that this past week. In addition to running the ball, we saw Ashton Jeanty get the ball in space against linebackers. And I think that's going to be key for us this week, or key perhaps the rest of the season. I've mentioned it before, you know, the LA Rams, St. Louis Rams, they used Marshall Faulk in that way down the field, where he was catching the ball one-on-one with against linebackers, and that's often a mismatch, especially when you've got a running back like Ashton Jeanty or Marshall Faulk who has hands that rivals most wide receivers. So let's hope that we can give him the ball in space and make a big difference for us. And just in case you weren't really paying that much attention, Ashton had two receiving touchdowns last week. So let's get the ball to Ashton and, in space and see what he can do. Additionally, I think we're going to have to slow down whoever's playing edge over our left tackle replacement. And we're going to have to slow that person down. We're going to have to let that person know that they just can't pin the ears back and come rushing. So that's going to equate to maybe a more heavy run pass balance. And with Ashton's game last week, you know, we got to give him the ball while he's got the hot hand. I mean, why would you not feed this kid with a 64-yard run, with a great, decent blocking by the O-line. And we're going to get back to that about the O-line. But decent blocking by the O-line. Ashton had himself a day. And if you're going to pick a kid at number six, he proved why he was worthy of that. So when I say we need to slow down that rushing, we need to run at them. And that's one way to slow down. You know, Joey Bosa for the Chargers was perfect. You know, he was a good player in his prime. Unfortunately, injuries have slowed him down. But we used to slow him down by running right over Colton Miller, and Colton Miller would just pancake Bosa. And we need to see that again. You know, we know Miller's not going to be in, but a lot of these guys that play in, their kryptonite is the run game. You know, they're good at speed rushing, and they've got the moves, and they got the bend. They've got the hand fighting to get across and beat tackles and put pressure on the quarterback. But a lot of these guys are just, they're just so-so when it comes against the run. So if we want to slow these guys down, we've got to be effective running the ball at the edges. Let's move on to the next thing. I think we should get the ball out of Geno Smith's hand fast, like we did towards the end. You know, three-step drop, five-step drop. When that back foot hits the ground, that last step, the ball's got to come out. You know, Geno gets in trouble as the pocket's collapsing around him, and he's zeroing in on one guy down the field. Free safeties and DBs read on that. They jump the route. It's either high pass, it's a tipped pass, or it's a deflected pass. Either way, all of those are opportunities for interceptions, and we see that Geno is leading the league because of that. So we need Geno to coach himself up and self-identify some of his issues. We hope that Chip Kelly and the staff, both including Chip and the quarterback coach, are identifying plays that can help Geno with this issue and, you know, just get the ball out of his hands. I think another thing that we can do to help Geno is on some of these outside routes or outside portions of the field, outside the hash. What we can do is flood those zones, is we can have a deep route, intermediate route, and something short, either in and out of the flat or inside to the linebacker area in the hook to curl zone, perhaps a choice route with three levels that Geno can just read one side of the field and throw to who's open. Again, we want the ball out of his hands. We don't want him sitting there zeroing in down the middle of the field. Nothing has happened good with that so far. Let's get him some confidence. Let's get him to see the field. Let's get him to see the other jerseys. Because the other thing I'm going to say is simply just stop throwing the ball to guys who aren't open. You know, that's something he's doing, is he's forcing the ball to receivers who are clearly covered. Like I was told many times in my playing days, my coach would tell me, hey, Lawton, I'll take, and Lawton's my last name, I'll take second and 10 instead of an interception any day. So if somebody's not open, throw the ball away. Or, you know, like me and Geno's got decent legs. If he can get 4 to 6 yards, get him. You know, so, but let's get the ball out of his hand, and let's get him some a route tree or a route combination that works for him. Additionally, let's get the ball over the top. You know, in my notes here, I have WTF. You guys know what that means. What the heck happened to our guy that had a breakout week the week before, Trey Tucker? This guy has the game of his career, and then poof. We don't see him in the game. Guy's a 4-2. Let's get the ball down the field. Between him and Thornton Jr., let's just throw the ball down the field a couple of times like we used to do with Cliff Branch. You know, you got to loosen up the defense. And between loosening up over the top and the outside, and we all know that Geno throws a nice deep ball to the outside, let's get some fade routes to keep the DBs off it honest, and let's run at those edge rushers to keep them honest. And, you know, I think that we need to keep the defense on off balance and guessing at what we're going to do at all times. So Trey Tucker needs to get back involved. So that's that for the offense. Let's slow it down. Let's get more of a rush happy, a run heavy type offense, maybe 50-50. Let's stay out of third and long. Because what happens in third and long, edge rushers pin their ears back, and they're just coming. So let's stay out of third and long, and let's keep those edge rushers on their heels, and let's keep those DBs guessing. Okay, that's enough about the offense. You guys know how I feel about that, and I think that's the keys to having a great victory or a good outing for the offense that day. Let's talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to talk about Leiatu Latu and Kwity Paye. Both these guys are going to be the edge rushers standing over whoever's going to be replacing Colt Miller. And that's probably going to be Stone Forsythe. So these two guys, I dug down in the history, went to their scouting reports in college, and what some of the PFF and some of these other guys say about their current game. And it says the same thing about both of them. It says both of them excel in pass rushing, but they both are mediocre to average against the run. So that tells me I don't have to be a rocket scientist. Just a former football coach and player, guy that's watched a lot of football. We got to keep these guys on their heels, and we just can't get into a third and long situation where we might have an inexperienced tackle or someone just who's got some cobwebs on them, giving up sacks and giving up strip sacks and quarterback hurries, which turn into turnovers. So let's keep these guys on their heels, and let's get Ashton. Let's get our new toy. Let's get him rolling. He's got a hot hand. Let's get him running at these guys. So again, if Stones Forsythe or Charles Grant can get their body on another body, not even a perfect block, I believe Ashton is good enough to excel even when the blocks aren't perfect. If you take a look at that 64-yard score last week, we had Parham miss his block. It was either Parham or the center. And Ashton did a head fake and bounced outside, and that defender in the hole found himself grasping for air. And that's when the speed of Ashton Jeanty took over. So I believe that if we keep these defensive guys on edge and we can establish a running game, then it's going to be something that we can find ourselves at the in the fourth quarter in the game, and perhaps the in a position to win. So that's that, and that's going to end this episode, this quick hit version of the What's Up Raider podcast. But I want to pose one question for you. Last week's success in the run game, was that all about JPJ, or was that the entire line just doing better? An extra week of practice, a better week of spending time together, running their game, running their offensive line blocks against games on the defense. So was it all JPJ, or was it a collective effort? I want to hear you on the call line. I want to hear you in the comments, and we're going to touch back at that the next episode. So thank you guys, and let's talk more. Be sure to hit us up in the pod for the special edition, deeper dive into Geno Smith versus Jim Plunkett. And I'll see you later, and go Raiders.
Raider Nation, be sure to give us a like and subscribe, as this helps us to create more Las Vegas Raiders content. Follow us on all of our socials, including Instagram, X, TikTok, Reddit, Facebook, and YouTube. You can even call and leave a message or text us at 971-319-2976.